Morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be in the land of the living. It's good to be out of the house. I tell you, it's wonderful. Let's go ahead and I'm going to read some scriptures and then we'll pray and we'll get on with these things. I want to read from three different psalms, starting with Psalm 84. Psalm 84, starting with verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And then all the way over to Psalm 120. Starting with verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. And then verse 5. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. And then Psalm 121, starting with verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Actually, it says, my help comes from Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. And then verse 8. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are reigning in this time, and you have a word for us for this time. And Lord, that's what we're grateful for. You don't just limit yourself to doctrines and teachings, but you're the living God. And we're asking today for a living word, word that speaks to us in our world right now. And so, Lord, only you can speak. Only you can do this. I'm of no help to you at all. But we thank you that we rely not on me, but on the Holy Spirit and your word. And it's from this we ask that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the weirdest time I've ever lived in. I don't know about you. I think that some people that, like my parents' age, incidentally, you know, my dad tomorrow would have been my dad's birthday, and he would have been 100 years old. But there are some that have gone through times like this, or something like this. I wouldn't say like this, but gone through a troubling time. Those who have lived through the Great Depression or World War II, things like that. But this is something that is really weird for some of us. Out of these psalms, I believe the Lord is doing something in this time. And he's doing something, but I think he's doing something, and it's for himself. It's not just he's doing something for us. I think we look at things as we're us-centric. You know, we look at it, and the Lord is doing this for me. He's doing this because I'm in this kind of situation. But I think, you know, it's important for us to realize is the Lord is doing something for himself, for his own name's sake, during this time. And out of these psalms, I just want to share that there's three things that are happening during this time. I think that something is being uncovered. Something is being uncovered. The Lord's uncovering something. I think that something is also being discovered. The Lord is discovering something to us. In other words, he's opening it up so we can see. And I also think that the Lord is recovering something. And he's recovering something for himself. And so when I look at these things, and I want to say, well, let's start out with the Lord's uncovering something. And when I mean uncovering something, I don't mean he's exposing something. Okay, like Achan's sin in Joshua chapter 7. He exposed it, you know, and everybody knew that Achan sinned and he did something that he wasn't supposed to do. And it affected, you know, the whole congregation there. But he's not exposing something. When I mean he's uncovering something, it's like in Genesis chapter 26, the story of Isaac. And Isaac was told to stay in the land. And while he was in the land, we find out that Isaac started to redig the wells of Abraham because an enemy had filled them up. And that's what I mean by the Lord is uncovering something. The Lord is uncovering something that he's already put in place. In other words, when Isaac redug the wells were already there. But they had been filled in by an enemy. And so the Lord is uncovering something that he's put in us when we were born again. When we were first born again, he put something in us. And it's been covered up. And I believe what's been what the Lord has been is uncovering at this time is what we find in Psalm 84. And it's this heart. And there are two ways, there are two kind of translations. There are a number of translations for this, but there's two that really stuck out to me. The one that I have here in the New King James Version is, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And the one in the New American Standard says, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. And in looking at this, and looking at the heart in this way, the highways to Zion, the highways that the Lord has put in our heart, has given us this heart with highways in it. And these highways are the desires that find their way through to its goal. You know, he's put desires in our hearts that if we follow those desires, those highways, they would lead us straight through to the goal. They would find their way to the goal that he has for us. And this idea of being set on pilgrimage is not that just we have desires, that the Lord has given us a heart with desires that desire him, that want to pursue him, but that our hearts are being moved to pursue him, move to go after him. It's an action of the will that's in the heart, that's within this new heart. And really what is this heart. When we talk about heart, we're not talking about this organ that beats, although its beating is vital to us. This is something vital to our walking with the Lord, to our finding our way to all that the Lord has for us. But when we talk about the heart, it's the entirety of our soul. It's our entirety of the soul. And the soul, remember, is made up of three things. It's made up of our intellect, you know, our reasoning, all that type of thing, our emotion, and our will. But the thing is, this heart isn't just the entirety of the soul, but it's the entirety of the soul, the intellect and the emotions and the will that are being led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, and is leading us to God's end. And this is the very heart of Jesus that's been given to us. The heart that was in Jesus of Nazareth, the heart that was so in tune with the Father, and so wanting to please the Father. This is the very heart that God gave to us when we were born again. We have that very heart. And this heart, God is uncovering. I think in this time, this is what the Lord is, one of the things the Lord is doing, is uncovering this heart. He's taking out the things that have been blocking the progress, the highways that are in this heart, that have been blocking the pilgrimage, the will to go on, the will to be moving. And when I say that, he's blocking this heart. These things have been blocking this heart from being known to us. And what I mean by being known to us, I don't mean that we have a knowledge of this heart. It's not some doctrinal thing. We have, you know, the life of Christ in us. I'm not talking about that. But it's been unknown to us, and he wants it to be known to us in its functioning way, in what it's supposed to do. In other words, it's the very impetus of our walking with God and our knowing God. This heart is to be moving us. This heart is to be moving us to pursue, and there have been things in the way. And I don't know, you know, what's in the way of your hearts. And but I'll tell you, you know, being sequestered, has that been an education to you? Man, it's been an education to me. Because I've seen the things that have stood in the way of my relationship with the Lord. And just to make a confession, you know, because, you know, those of us that stand up here, we're not bronze statues that you worship. We're men with feet of clay. And I tell you, there's a couple of things that I found out, that one of the most wonderful things that have happened is no sports. You know, there's been no sports. Because I know this is baseball season, right? I love baseball. And I tell you, you know, I've got that MLB.com. I can check all the scores and everything. Out of service. What do I do with all this time? You know, well, I tell you, there's some things I have done. I've been reading a lot more. And it's been good. And I'm grateful for that. How about television? You know, you think about this. I don't know how many of you guys have cable or stuff like that. But you know, your cable channels, it's the same movie over and over and over again. You can only watch Shawshank Redemption so many times, you know, and get something out of it, or, you know, but the whole thing is, there's nothing new. It's all replayed and replayed and replayed, you know, and all of a sudden, so what do? There's nothing to, you know, that is stimulating, that's drawing you in. And all of a sudden, then what happens is you read. You read, and then, you know, reading moves you to praying. And you, all of a sudden, you find yourself alone with the Lord. And so all these things, what I'm saying is, the Lord is uncovering it. He's taken the things out, saying these things have been, this has stopped up everything. And he's taken out, some stones are big stones, some are little stones, they're dirty, it's filled with dirt. And he's just saying, I just want to get to the bottom. And he's not saying I'm searching you out to say this is wrong with you, this is wrong with you. I'm bringing these things out so I can get to what I've put there. To what I've put there that pleases me. And so this is what the Lord, I think, is uncovering in this time for many Christians during this time. Because he's taken away the things that that have occupied us and put us in a place where now we have to look and say, Lord, what is this all about? Then there's something discovered. And there's a couple of things that are discovered. Now, you notice these other psalms here, 120, 121, they're the beginning of the Psalms of Ascent. And the Psalms of Ascent were written, G. Campbell Morgan said, they're pilgrim psalms. You know, they're for the pilgrim, which is one of the things that was talked about in Psalm 84. You know, their hearts are set on pilgrimage. But the whole thing is, their psalms is saying, we're going to the temple. We're going back to the place that we've called to be. Because, you know, all of Israel, all the men in Israel were called to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. They're all, that's where they're called to be. And we're called to be in this relationship with the Lord. And so what's happening is all these things, is the Lord is uncovering what he's put in us. And again, he's uncovering not the bad stuff. He's going down deep and saying, oh, there that heart is. Here's the heart that pleases me. Oh, this is what I'm after. Okay, don't get that mixed up with saying like, oh, I see this is wrong with you, and this is wrong with you, and that's wrong. He's uncovering the heart. And this is what I've found, you know, in my going back to reading a lot more, and I've been reading biographies, reading the Word and stuff like this, I've been finding out how wonderful the Lord is. And all of a sudden, my heart is being drawn toward him. And that's what's being uncovered. When we're born again, he put in that which draws us to him. Because the unredeemed man, there's no draw. He's not drawn to God. So what's being discovered then? Well, the first thing is what I've read in Psalm 120 was all of a sudden there's an epiphany about ourselves. And now epiphany, I'm sorry, that's a big word, isn't it? It's very Catholic, you know. Saint Edward of Epiphany. Epiphany is just seeing things as they are. Some people would call it a revelation. Well, revelation shows you things as they are. So when John had the revelation of Jesus Christ, it showed him as he is. You know, and he's showing things as they are, of which we've been unaware. And the reason why we've been unaware is that heart that the Lord has put in us has been covered. And so he mentions two places. He mentions Meshach and Kedar. And there's nothing special about these things except that they weren't in the land. One was far north, you know, up near Babylon, and one was far south down in Arabia. But the thing is, they weren't really where Israel was supposed to be. And here's the epiphany. The epiphany is, oh my gosh, I'm dwelling in Kedar. And I didn't even realize it. Now let me bring up something about this idea of dwelling. Dwelling just means that I've stopped going on. I've set up my tent, I'm stopping here. And a lot of times we don't even realize it, like Lot. Remember Lot, he set his tent outside of Sodom. And then before you know it, as years go on, he's no longer outside Sodom, but he's in Sodom. And but, you know, for us, or for me, this whole idea is that I find myself in Kedar. In other words, I'm occupied with Kedar. And that means this is, I'm occupied in the business of Kedar. I'm occupied in its pleasures. I'm occupied in the directions of everything that's there in Kedar. But that's not it. It's not just I'm in it. But all of a sudden, I'm finding out that it's occupying me. It occupies my thought. It occupies my plans. It occupies my values. It occupies my rest. It occupies my life. It's like, remember when we started studying 1 Corinthians? One of the things about 1 Corinthians was you have all these Christians that were living in Corinth. Well, living in Corinth really wasn't the problem. The problem with them was Corinth was living in them. And that's the whole thing. I find myself, my gosh, I'm a Corinthian. And I'm shocked by it. And I find myself in being shocked, which is a good thing. I find myself crying out to the Lord, saying, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. I've been dwelling in Kedar. I've been dwelling in Meshach, and I've been unaware of it. I've been kind of like that frog in that pan, slowly heating up. I haven't even realized it. But the Lord, what happens is, as the Lord is uncovering that heart, there's that, all of a sudden, that epiphany, there's that sensitivity of knowing, oh my gosh, look where I am. I didn't even realize it. You know, I'm going to church. I go to Bible studies and stuff like this, but I have not realized I've stopped and I'm living here. And then another thing that is discovered during this time, who's going to help me? It says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Now, some people will say, well, the hills are the difficulties that you have trying to get out of Kedar and other things. And some people say, well, you know something, they're the things that really help me get out of it. But you know something, the whole thing is, I lift my eyes up to the hills. The hills aren't going to help me. But I lift my eyes up to the hills. From whence comes my help? Does it come from these things? You know, sometimes, when we find ourselves, we're falling away. You know where I find myself going? I try to go to higher teaching. If I could only get some more higher teaching, that's going to help me out. It's not the teaching that helps you. It's God. And all of a sudden, there's a finding out that God is my help. You know, there might be teaching that'll help me, the whole thing. Who's behind these things? And I'll just give one little example. You find God, and first of all, it says, I'm sorry for throwing you for a loop here. My help comes from the Lord, and it's not, you know, we read that, the Lord, and it just goes by Lord, like that's his name. But you notice in your Bibles, Lord is capitalized. L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that's really the name. That's the name of the Lord, Yahweh, or Jehovah. That's why I mentioned in when I was reading it, my help comes from Jehovah. This is not a generic thing. This is the God who says, this is my name, and I am God alone. I'm your help. And we find that out. And I want to give you just an example of this. I remember when I was first really following the Lord. And you know, we go through pits and valleys. And I was going through a valley because at this time I was trying to return to the Catholic Church. The charismatic movement was going on. My brother, my younger brother, who I felt was much more spiritual than I was involved in it. And he was urging me to come, and so I tried, and I went. I started going back to catechism and learning the teachings of the church, and I just had no peace. I can't swallow this because I've been reading and stuff like this. And so I went to my mentor at that time, Floyd Police. And I remember it was summer. It was hot. He didn't have air conditioning in his house. Here he is with his Godfather t-shirt on. You know, he meets me at the door. He's doing his lesson plans for summer school. And I said, Floyd, I got to talk to you. I just don't know what I'm doing. I just don't know where I'm at. And Floyd just simply said, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this. You know, like he'd been praying for it. But he wasn't going to buttonhole me or anything. I've just been waiting. Waiting for you to have that epiphany. And I remember we prayed, and then I said, you know, Floyd, what should I do? As if Floyd, you know, had the answers. Floyd had the answers to everything, as far as I was concerned. And he didn't say, well, this is what you should do, Jim. He just basically said this. He said, Jim, just start going to a church that teaches the Bible. Because if you hear the word of God, you're going to find the Lord, and the Lord will direct you. That was it. You know, he didn't give me anything else. It's like Paul in Romans 7, thanks be to God. You know, well, what's the method? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. What's the method? Jesus Christ. You know, it's a hard thing to understand, but the whole thing is, the epiphany is that God is my help. It's God wanting us, this heart again, is turning us back to Him and saying, I'm your source. I'm the source that leads you to where I want to go. I want you to go. And then we have this little verse in here that says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forward. And this Hebrew word for, mine says preserve, and some people say keep. But actually what this word means, it has the idea of attend to. The Lord will attend to your going out and your coming in. Now, attend to, it doesn't mean he's just in attendance and he's watching you as a spectator. Yeah, okay, he's coming out. Oh, yeah, he's coming in. But attend to, it has this meaning. I'm present to assist. Have you ever attended to a problem? What does that mean? That means you go there, physically go there, right? And you're there to assist in the problem, in the solution to the problem. And the Lord is saying this, I will assist your coming out. I am present with you to assist your coming all the way through. I am your help. I'm not leaving it throughout the thing. I don't slumber. I'm with you all the way. I'm going to make sure your foot don't slip. All these things, the whole thing is I am there. Like Psalm 46 says, a very present help in time of trouble. And so, these things are discovered. Now, what about what's recovered? Now, I don't want to say that, you know, the pilgrimage is recovered. Because there's something else that's recovered in the pilgrimage. And yeah, the heart is set right now. The heart is set on the road to pilgrimage. But something is recovered during this thing. Now, you know, if we go to Psalm 23, and if you'll turn there for just a smidge. Psalm 23 is a great picture of pilgrimage. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. But the first three verses, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For His. This is communion. This is the communion of the pilgrim with his God. This is it. This is where we're refreshed. This is where we find the Lord. This is where our souls are put at rest. We start to know Him as the shepherd. Therefore, we don't have to want. We have our God. And it's the communion. It's what feeds us. The soul is restored. The intellect, the emotions, and the will are restored by the Spirit to its proper place where the Spirit is leading these things. This is our closet ministry. This is the ministry that we so often forego and take up the corporate instead. You know, how many of us, and I confess, will pray at a prayer meeting, but what about our prayer life at home? What about our closet thing? This is a big thing. And this is the closet ministry of that heart that's been restored, that's been uncovered. And so we have this closet ministry for what? So it can face the reality of the pilgrimage. And verse 4 really is the pilgrimage. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what our pilgrimage is through. Okay? This is our pilgrimage. It's through this. And we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the shadow of death, it doesn't say we walk through death. It says the shadow of death. The shadow of death is uncertainty. Something's clouding the certainty. Things are unclear. We don't know what the end of things will be. And you know, a lot of us, you know, we are not exempt from the problems of life. Okay, as Christians, we're not exempt from the problems of life. But the whole thing is, a lot of us, we take this individually, right? We take this individually. Like, you might have to go through the loss of a parent or a child, or you might have to you have a disease, you lose a job, something like this. We go through where all of a sudden things are clouded. But you know something? We've done this, but we've never, and this is the thing, we've never gone through the shadow of the valley of death as a nation. I'm not saying that our nation hasn't, but I'm saying us. We've never gone through the valley of the shadow of death as a nation. I mean, these times now are uncertain. There is nothing to say things will be restored. That's a hard thing to think about. Because, you see, that makes us lose our peace. What's going to happen? And then we get so concerned with these things. And I'm not saying it's not rightfully so, but the whole thing is we've never gone through this way as a nation. And even for us, as a church, we've never gone. Now, I'll tell you something. The churches in Africa have. The churches in Asia have. The churches in the Middle East. Even the churches in South America. But not us. This is new. These are things that are really being shaken. You know, the foundations of our nation are being shaken. So we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. And the shadow, you know, a shadow... Guy, I can't, you know, if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, well, let's put 5 o'clock in the afternoon, your shadow can be really long. You know, sometimes when we've been out walking during our being sequestered, you come down and the sun's behind you and you're walking. I like to swing my arms. My shadow looks like a monster. You know, the big hanging arms and stuff like this. And it's worse than I am. You know, if you can imagine that. But the whole thing is, it's really, really scary. But in the pilgrimage, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, I'm going to. Although, not I hope, if I ever, though. That means it's happening. I will fear no evil. Now, it doesn't say that evil won't befall me. It says I won't fear evil. I won't fear evil. Yeah, these times are looking really, really hard. But the thing is, and they're scary. I mean, you're living in some of these areas where things are going bad. They're destroying stuff and things like this. And says, I won't have to fear the evil. You know, it doesn't mean that evil's going to go around the block because I'm a Christian. One of the books I've been reading, incidentally, is a biography of Norris Groves. He was a missionary. He started the faith missions. It's really convicting. But really, really good, too. And he was saying that, you know, he went to Baghdad, and he went without a mission board or anything like that. He felt the Lord had him there. And a plague hits. He gets to Baghdad, and a plague hits. And for most of the plague, nobody touched his family. Nothing touched his family. And he said he noticed that during that time that he called them Mohammedans, who'd call them Muslims, resented them because nothing was happening to them. But then his wife got the plague and she passed away, and this opened up a whole door of people open to the Lord because he had to go through something they were going through. It was amazing. You know, through the book, it mentions the many things that happened that he had to go through. But all through it, that's the one thing about this guy, there wasn't the fear of evil. It was coming, it was happening, but the thing was that he didn't fear it. And so, here then is what is recovered. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And brothers and sisters, what recovered is being recovered here is the Lord's witness. The Lord's witness of a people that will fear no evil, not because it's going to bypass them, but because he's with them. This whole thing of knowing that the Lord is with you, this whole idea of I'm conscious of his presence. And it might not be in a conscious way, like I'm feeling tingly or something like that. But my faith has laid hold of him in such a way that I know he's with me. That even if I can't feel it, I know he's there. Because he's said he's with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the fruit of this, because this is what the world sees and other members of the church see in a time like this. They see a person who fears no evil because he knows that God's with him. There's a peace in his life. Even though everything's going hayward all over the place, he's going through the valley with everyone else. They're all going through this valley of the shadow of death. And it's not like we're not affected. We're affected. But also, we're affected in a way that we know that God is with us. And this is what God is recovering. This idea that it doesn't matter what the outside looks like, but God's with us. And that's his promise for us. And then there's fruit out of that. There's fruit out of the witness. Though they go through the valley, it's called Baca, and some people say that means weeping, and some people say it means balsam trees. But most people will say it's weeping. Though they go through the valley of weeping, it doesn't have necessarily be their weeping. It's weeping because it's a hard time. But all of a sudden, it says they make it a spring. That's Psalm 84, verse 6. They're going through the valley of weeping, but they make it a spring. Pools. You know what a pool is? A pool is still water. Not stagnant water. Because the pools they're talking about here come from the rain. The rain comes in, all of a sudden you have still water. And still water, you don't want to drink from a rushing torrent. You want to drink from water that's still. You know, sheep, and you lead your sheep beside still water so they can drink. And here's what the Lord is. What is the Lord doing in this? He's making it so people can have a taste of that still water, because the whole thing is your heart is still. Through all of this, your heart is still. This is what's been recovered, this testimony, this witness of who God is in this. And then the last thing I want to say, he's doing it for his namesake. He's doing it for his namesake. You know, there's a verse here in Ezekiel. It's the same chapter that talks about the new covenant, talking about giving you a new heart. But right before it gets to the new heart, the Lord is talking to his people that are in captivity. They're in Babylon. This is verse chapter 36, and it's verse 23. And he says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." That's a hard statement, isn't it? That's a hard statement. But isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is saying, "I will be hallowed in your eyes"? And that's one of the things that I think that we're so worried about what it means to me. We forget that the Lord, what it means to the Lord, what our testimony means to the Lord. This testimony of, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." It's a cleansing testimony. And it's a testimony which will stop people from profaning his name. And instead of saying, "Oh, look at those Christians, what a bunch of hypocrites." Instead it'll say, "Look at those people who have this hope. Oh, that I might have that hope to get me through this time. Oh, that I might have it." He's doing it for his name's sake. For his name. It's not just because he loves us. It's for his name. His name is righteous. He's a righteous God. And he's saying, "I've been profaned." In the end, it says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." This is the heart that the Lord is uncovering. And he's saying, "Blessed is the man who finds it uncovered." And blessed means just this. It means happy. When I find it all of a sudden, I'm happy. And happy just is a lousy word, isn't it? Happy meal. I'm going to get a happy meal. It means I'm content. I've been satisfied. It means I'm at rest. At rest is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Why is it at rest? Because he knows the one who's leading him. He knows where he's going. And he knows that the one who's leading him, it will get him there. So may the Lord fully uncover this heart that he's given to us. May he have that for himself, for his name's sake. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when you do things, you don't do things to beat us up. You do things to save us. You do things to recover us. And Lord, we just want to tell you we're thankful. And Lord, we want to have this heart that you put in us fully uncovered. We want you to blow away all the stuff that's been piled up on it, that has hidden it from us so that we don't even know it's there. Lord, forgive us for being in places sometimes, I can't say this is for everybody, but Lord, for being so occupied with other things that we've forgotten that you saved us. It's like that hymn we sang today that, you know, "Here's my ear." You know, Lord, the heart you're uncovering gives you the ear. The other one says, "No, I've got other things to do." Lord, thank you for stopping things. Thank you for sequestering us and making us have to come and face you in a good way, Lord. And Lord, for our nation, we don't know what's going to come out of this. But Lord, we thank you it's in your hands. And we want to go through the valley of the shadow of death fearing no evil. And the only way we can is by knowing you. So we pray that our times that we have, especially alone with you, that they be those times that we're beside still waters, knowing you as our shepherd. You're feeding us. You're helping us. You're bringing us to your mind as we pray so that we're agreeing with you. And Lord, we just ask that you won't let this time pass by without our responding to you in a way that shows that that heart has been uncovered and you've gotten what you want. You've gotten what you paid for. You paid for this new heart. Lord, we receive it. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.